the public, you are welcome to this first Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Cooperation for 2011. And we hope and believe that you had had the deserved rest and that you are very energized to start the year and work very hard this year. As you have got, I hope, all of you, the agenda in front of you, I would like to take this opportunity to open and welcome you all as my term as acting chair is just about to expire when I finished with this second item for today. And then I would like to take this opportunity to give to the members of the committee to elect the chair of the committee. Honorable Manana.
Thank you very much, acting chair. I nominate Honorable Magama to be the new chair of the Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Cooperation.
The Honorable Magama has been nominated. Honorable Mubu.
Thank you. Acting Chair, I would like to second that proposal.
Thank you very much. Honorable Magama, you have been nominated and duly seconded. Can you come and take your seat? And congratulations on behalf of all of us. But I think maybe on behalf of the ANC, I would start by saying we would like to congratulate you and we will offer our support to work as we've been working with you to make sure that the work of the international relations in the Parliament of the Republic continues. And then I would give two of the DA to comment briefly.
Thank you very much, Madam Honourable Member. I think it's a pleasure for us from the Democratic Alliance to have associated ourselves with Honourable Magama over the time that we've been in Parliament. We have developed a very good working relationship, and I hope he's listening to what I'm saying. We've developed a very good working relationship, and I think the strength of this committee really depends on the fact that over the time that we've been here, we have worked as a team. Even during the times that we have traveled out of this country on oversight visits, we have shown that we are a team and that we have the interests of this country at heart. I therefore want to say on behalf of the DA, congratulations, and we hope we'll continue that spirit. Thank you very much.
DP.
Thank you. On behalf of the ACDP, I'd like to congratulate you, Honourable Chair, and we wish you all the best and every success in this position.
Thank you very much. Then you can take your chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. It's indeed an honour and privilege to assume these responsibilities. I hope that you will indeed give me the support that you've given the previous chairs. The chair will only be as good as the support given to him by the committee. So let us keep that spirit intact moving forward. Thank you so much, Honourable Members. Let me quickly check with regard to the... We have two points on our agenda, really. The others are formalities. The opening and welcome election that we have concluded already, then is apologies, standard. And then there's a briefing by the department on the imprisonment of a member of parliament from Hamas, parliamentary legislative council in Israel. The member has been imprisoned in Israel. It's not a legislative council of Israel. Right, and then the fifth point is the latest development on the envisaged trip, a briefing on that. Can we get an indication of the apologies from the members? We have an apology from Dr. Kuronov, Honorable Ngonyama, and Honorable Skosana. who can unfortunately not be here for a variety of reasons. Thank you. Those are the apologies registered. So noted. Can we then have a briefing by the Department of International Relations? Who's here? You're not here yet. Okay, so shall we start with point 5 then? Okay, I beg your indulgence, honorable members. We will then start with point 5, a briefing on the latest developments on our NDC trip. Who will do that briefing?
Morning, honorable members. Regarding our trip to Palestine, we are departing on the 23rd of January, that is Sunday, and we're coming back on the 1st of January, or February 2011. But on our political approval, we requested to come back on the 31st, but due to some other problems that the embassy has got, they requested that to come back on the 1st of February. And everything is still under control regarding the political approval and the funding application. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Honorable members, any question? Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also may I add my word of congratulations to your election as Chairperson. I unfortunately came late, but I did submit an apology that I will be late. Can I just check, Chairperson, is the whole committee going, or do we have a delegation of the committee going? If we can just get maybe that logistic. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, regarding the delegation that is going to Palestine, we have been requested by the speaker that we have about 5 members of the committee that will be going. So that would mean that we have 3 ANC, we have 2 ANC, we have 1 COPE, one DA, 1 COPE, and then the leader of the delegation. So we've got Honorable Magama as the leader of the delegation, and then we've got Mr. Manana and Honorable Mahau, and then Mr. Mukhalapa as well. For the COPE, Honorable Ngonyama has requested that he can't be able to, from COPE. So he only confirmed that yesterday. So I'm not sure what will the committee do regarding that, because we've been requested to have about 5. So now we've got 4 confirmed.
Okay.
I was going to suggest that we consider the parties that are here now, and after having looked around, I see that the ACDP is here. Maybe we get to hear from them as to whether they'll be able to take that slot.
Yes, I'd have to undo a few appointment arrangements, make some arrangements, but I think it's possible. And I had sent my international, my official passport before I went away, in to get, so I'll have to just check up on that's been done.
Okay, thank you. If the committee finds it in order, that slot will then go to the ACTP. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable.
Chair, let me also congratulate you on your appointment as the new chairperson. The other logistics, will we liaise with the committee secretary on the time and the flights? And I don't think it's something, it's just semantics that she can send to us per SMS or per email. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, the committee secretary will deal with the logistics at a later stage. What we must ensure, however, honorable members, is that we submit, those of us who haven't yet submitted, we must do so by the end of this meeting. We should have submitted our passports and ID photos for the visas.
Follow-up. Maybe the question would be relevant to the department's briefing. Are we going to Palestine only, or are we going to also to Israel? Or is it part of the briefing that will inform us on the status of where are we going exactly? Is it only Palestine side, or is it also Israel?
Okay. Let's deal with it as part of the briefing. Are there any other questions or comments in relation to the last point? As for the rest, honourable members, will be the committee secretary will engage with us on any in terms of the logistics, what time, and so on and so on. Okay. All right. Thanks. Let us then at this stage call. I've seen Ambassador Sisangombani. Sisangombani. Welcome, Ambassador. I don't know who's accompanying you.
No, I'm alone today.
Okay. Yeah, that's the brave man of the department, honorable members. Most of the officials, when they get here, they come with a delegation. Ambassador, can you please take your place and proceed with the briefing? Thank you so much.
And the members of the committee, and can I have the honor to also congratulate you on your election as the chairman of this committee. We're informed that this process was going to be underway soon and that we'll be having a new chair. And therefore the department is looking forward to respond and work closely with you as the coming chair and your other members as we start the new year. I'm sure it's going to be a heavy program for all of us, and we hope that we'll be able to be of use. We also would want also to say immediately that on this issue of Palestine and relations with Israel, we rely heavily on the work that should be done by the political parties themselves, by the portfolio committee. The reason for that, as you might know, is that as per the wishes of the ruling party, we in the government were not supposed to have a free-for-all access or engagement with the Israeli government. There's a deliberate decision to limit government-to-government interaction with the Israeli government. So, in terms of the way we try, therefore, to manage the relations is to maintaining diplomatic ties with the state of Israel. We have contacts, but contacts which are coordinated with the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. And those contacts are at senior officials level. We have had a lot of requests and pressure from the Israeli government to have a full all-round engagement. There are a series of requests for ministers to visit the state of Israel. We have had a petition to the Minister of Tourism last year. There are other invitations that have come lined up for the ministers to visit under a lot of pretexts. What we have tried to do has been to try and draw a distinct line in terms of those requests or those conferences and meetings that are organized by international bodies, your OECD, your UN, whatever, that in that case, government can be represented at the highest level. But in case where we have events like there's a request for the cabinet minister to visit or attend a seminar on tourism, called an international tourism seminar organized by Israeli government. Our view on looking at this request has been that it's a concerted effort by Israel to bring more people under its own or create more contacts for themselves. So that background, I think, is useful to the committee members before we tackle the specific issue of the visit. Chair, my briefing is not going to be long on this one. We have tried to circulate the briefing note, but the background is important. We have noticed also in the last few, weeks or this month, a very significant movement from Latin America, from Brazil, Argentina, from Chile, to come out very strongly to say they recognize the state of Palestine. We take this as quite significant, and the timing that is also a very positive timing in the sense that we know the peace process is going under a very lot of pressure from the lack of movement in the peace process and lack of goodwill. I think you have known the question of colonial construction of settlement has been a stumbling block in that process, and several appeals to maintain the suspension that was done by Israeli authorities on construction of new elements, new settlements. That suspension was lifted by the Netanyahu government, and new settlements were voted in, and they were going to be constructed. So I'm saying these are important developments. Latin America, Chile, the countries I've mentioned, have stated their conviction that it's time to throw their support, full support behind the, what you call, the Palestinian people. As you know, also the Palestinian people are undergoing serious problems in terms of unity, the problem of Hamas, problem of Fatah. This has not resulted in unity, despite several attempts to intervene. In the last visit that was conducted by the Deputy President Halima Mutlante to Damascus, there was a meeting with Palestinian factions that are resident in Syria, but included Hamas. In all the visits, the other Deputy Minister also, Ibrahim, when government visits these areas, we take serious the question of also making an effort to meet with Hamas. As you know, Gaza is administered by Hamas, who won the election, whilst the West Bank is administered by Fatah, the PLO. Obviously, this creates a lot of problems with the PLO, sometimes saying we should not be meeting with Hamas. They are not constructive. Sometimes falling short to calling them a terrorist organization, because they're saying they are not a constructive element in the peace process. So is the view sometimes held by the Egyptians on this matter. So, but we have said South Africa maintains the right to interact with all the parties and thinks that Palestinian unity is critical to the achievement of a fully united Palestinian state according to 6-day process. So members of the committee, therefore, chair, can I just say to you, the document you have received really focuses on the matter that has been you don't have sorry for this. This is pretty. We thought we would circulate it on time, but the documents just really give the background into the events that happened concerning these four members in the East Jerusalem. As you would know, the East Jerusalem is central to the peace process in Palestine, and as you would know from the Oslo agreements, the issue of a Palestinian state was negotiated, and the processes around that, and that it was thought that movement would be made on those areas which are less contentious, if I want to simplify the matter, and that East Jerusalem, or the status of Jerusalem as such, would be the final important issue to be finalized once the Palestinian state exists alongside with Israel. The reason or the rationale for this was that Jerusalem, as you know, is a city that is a host to holy sites of both the Jewish and the Muslims. And they've coexisted in this city over many years, and that historically, going back, it had always had some specific status. It was never just treated as one entity belonging to this religion because of the status of being an international significant site for both Christians and the Jews and the Muslims. So that the status of Jerusalem, therefore, was going to be the final issue to negotiate. Now, what's happening and why we are undertaking this visit is that you have the elections that took place, the Hamas Parliamentary Legislative Council, the members were elected in 2006. There are four people who are at the center of this controversy today. These are the Palestinian Legislative Councils elected as Hamas representatives. They are from East Jerusalem, born and bred in East Jerusalem. Now, when we had a chance to meet with the Palestinian Foreign Minister Malik in Brazil last year, April, if I recall properly, he mentioned that one of the ominous developments that have happened in the Palestinian question has been this invocation of the military order number 1650, which really is at the center of deportation of Palestinians from East Jerusalem, and that you would need a permit, your automatic status, your citizenship is taken away And then if you were born there, you then need a special permit that allows you to visit East Jerusalem. So this is the crux of the matter. And he described it as really as your apartheid pass laws that really is constraining the movement of the Palestinians in every way. And this order can only be issued by as a military order by the military authorities. So what to at their own whim. I mean, there's no real things that you must meet except that they will decide whether you are desirable or not desirable. And that the attempt is to remove the bulk of the Palestinians, the other Palestinians in East Jerusalem, and transfer them to West Bank. So you've got a process that's underway to depopulate East Jerusalem of the Palestinians, relocate them to West Bank through denial of their citizenship. Then here, and some of them are born there. In the document, goes on to explain how if you were to go out, you have still have families in East Jerusalem. You have to leave and fly out, whether for treatment in South Africa. When you come back, you are not allowed to enter. You will be deported to West Bank. And your family remains in East Jerusalem, but you have been deported. You have been refused the right of entry to East Jerusalem. So, having received a very specific letter addressed to our minister, Okwanama Shabane, in August last year, the department then advised that this matter must be, the letter is included here, written by the four parliamentarians, Mohammed Chabu, is a, sorry, the numbering is not good. Was you first? Okay.
The letter is not very copied.
Sorry for this. We try to say this, because you need all this, we try to say it must be circulated beforehand, because I was not going to use the PowerPoint, because it's really documents that you should be referring to. But let me apologize again for this. But this letter is written, which is written by these Hamas members, making a specific appeal this time to the government of South Africa to take some measures to intervene on their behalf. So that's why, as I made in the introduction, that a position has been that in government, let's try and also utilize more the political parties, the parliament itself, to really interact with Palestinians and Israelis. Now, the question that was posed as I was coming here was, would the committee then meet or go just to Palestine, or would have to go to Israel as well? The approach would adopt is that it is very difficult or almost actually impossible to get to West Bank. You've got my map. You are going to get it, yes? Please. Just distribute all the documents. Don't hold anything there. It's impossible to get to West Bank without going through Israel, totally. Even if you come from Jordan, Amman, the first border post that you must use, which was used by the ANC youth when they traveled just before the end of the year, you go to Amman, get to the border post, pay something like $100 to cross, and then you get to the Israeli immigration authority. That's the frontier, and then you get to West Bank. So then you're in West Bank. Then you then have to go to West Bank, then drive to Jerusalem. So you go to Israeli authorities, get to West Bank. So we of the view that for a balance, because we have been accused of South Africa as having a lack of balance in dealing with the question, it's always proper that we should meet with the Israeli authorities, meet with the civil society there and other members of the political parties there. So in the list of the proposed meetings you have, there's reference here to government authorities, opposition leaders, and civil society. There are names that have been put. The embassy will facilitate those. The only catch we have is that the Israeli foreign ministry staff is on strike since the 10th of January. So they are not processing any official documents or engagements or anything. So, and this actually has led to serious consequences. We have here the leader of Kadima, the former foreign minister, Livini, Tsipi, the lady who was a member of the Good Party, was a very visible vice prime minister at some stage and foreign minister up to 2009. Very vocal lady, but her government, she could not make it to prime minister until Prime Minister Netanyahu won the elections and then took over. So she wanted to visit South Africa with her husband as early as last week, but she's been stuck, she can't. Now, in terms of visiting South Africa, we would also, because that was the case with the leader of the opposition, would also prefer that she is processed through the normal government authority. She is a personality, she carries a diplomatic passport or any point. But sometimes you then had, maybe it's acceptable, maybe it's normal, you had that request processed through the lobby, the Jewish lobby in South Africa, trying to facilitate. But normally, I mean, these are personalities, and he's a leader of the opposition, and would have interacted with her and given her an opportunity to interact with the government officials at a certain level, so that the government is properly informed. I can also take the opportunity to inform the committee that there's also a request for the Israeli president to meet President Zuma in Davos. A request we have considered favorable, recommended that the minister recommends that the president meets with the president of Israel along the margins of the Davos summit, economic summit, so that we are able to get more insights at the highest level in terms of what are the true intentions of the Israeli authorities. How do they think they want to go forward to solve this problem? So, what I remember, really, I'll try and make sure that the package that is here, because it's just getting the basic information, and that it contains the proposed conduct of the people would meet, and our office here, and the embassy in Palestine and in Israel. Of course, we have a resident ambassador in Israel who would facilitate those visits. It's Kovadia, it's my community, Kovadia. The only problem in Ramallah is that we don't have an ambassador as from last month. Our ambassador was Dr. Ted Pegane, who has now moved to Poland. We still have a charge, and we are still awaiting a name. I think the process is underway to identify the suitable person who would occupy the office of Ambassador Nzwamala. So, honourable members, let me not take more of your time, but I can assist in answering a few questions, if there are any questions. In terms of your visas, it's one of the issues we're worried about in terms of what would happen. You have introduced the visas, there's a strike going on. Will your visas be processed? We're still crossing the fingers that the embassy here might process this visa, because you need the visa to Israel and the Palestinian side. So in the practicalities of your visit, there's a program that has been proposed. Ernest, do you have that? Yeah, have you seen the program?
No, I haven't
seen it. My God. I'm not in the press, so. There was some ideas. Let me tell you, not a program as such as finalized, but there were some ideas in terms of who could be met, and it's all formulated in terms of a very, very tough program. Let me just try and, it's the one that was there on the PowerPoint, the one with the highlighted black thing. The program again, I think, is for you to examine and look at. I think what I've tried to explain is really an attempt to indicate, in terms of Israel, who could be met, that is government officials, the opposition leaders, the NGOs, media personalities, and civil society people. Then there's reference to Gaza there. So you will have to look at it yourself and give the approval in terms of this proposal, whether you think this would serve the visit, and the mission, and ourselves will then facilitate those meetings. You will allow me, honourable members, to stop here for questions. And sorry for the discrepancy of my not having these documents all lined up. It's partly the holiday, I think, is not going on.
No, thank you, Ambassador. Thank you so much, Ambassador. Yeah, no, it's the start of 2011. Your apology is accepted, at least because it's January. I was told that is busy reproducing the letter, so we should be receiving them in due course, honorable members. Are there any questions so far?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to the presentation. Though I'd have wished that we had this document beforehand, but I do agree with it. Accept the apology, and apologize for my voice as well. I know it sounds a bit sexier than usual. I'm suffering from terrible flu. no holiday. Chair, I think it's a pity that the delegation will not be able to have the opportunity to visit both sides of the equation. I have privileged myself and Honorable Khalapa last year to visit Israel, and we had a briefing from the Israel government, but also met some NGOs and activists from the Palestinian Israelis living within Israel, and had very good sharing of information and briefings and things like that. But of course, naturally, such a visit, you tend to get only the one side of the story, which can be sometimes disconcerting because you're not getting the balanced view. So I would have wished that if this was really balanced, that you get both sides of the story. When you come back here, you're fully briefed about what's going on there. But I just want to get a clarification on the issue that the ambassador raised, that there's been a concerted, it's not concerted, but maybe probably a deliberate effort by government to limit contact with the Israeli government to a minimum, and that this is the wish of the ruling party. I'm wondering if this is the case, how the government, South African government that is, wishes to see that the Israeli-Palestinian issue is resolved if you limit the contacts with the government. Because I think the more you open yourself up to contact, I think the more informed you are about the problem. Because I think that there's no limited contact with the Palestinians. So in other words, if you have to play a neutral role to try and resolve the issue, I think you have to listen to the open. Because already what it portrays is the perception that we are taking one side of the issue much more than the other side. So I'd like to get some kind of comment on that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, let's take a couple of questions, honorable members.
And then hand over to Ambassador Mohalab.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Ambassador, for the briefing that you've given us. One would have loved to see the essence of the letter to say, what does it expect out of us to do? Because we didn't get the gist of what the request from those four is about. And one would want to indulge the letter to see the essence of the request. Because of, yes, I think I have to agree with Honorable Mubo when he says that you need to have a balanced view. As he has already alluded, that we had a visit to the Israel. And I think the reason why I asked the question that whether we will be going to Israel as well is precisely for that fact, to say that you need a balanced view, because of the letter that we received comes from the other side. But I take point that you said we will meet some authorities and as well as civil society there, because of it's a very contentious issue. And one would like to see or hear what significant influence do we have to influence the situation towards an amicable solution. Because of, on the one hand, we are spreading the two-state solution, and on the other, we are saying we are disengaging the other party. And I think when we say we're disengaging the other party, we are perpetuating an idea that we are supporting one other party. And I think it's quite a very dangerous diplomatic water to flow under. So one would want to hear that the essence of the gist of what is expected out of us and the visit, because of it's quite a very contentious thing, and you got to see what kind of influence have we got to influence the situation in the Middle East. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Any further questions? No. Okay, Honorable Tatley.
Just to say, you know, obviously I'm going to pick it up from the documents, I assume, what the actual purpose of our visit is and what we're hoping to get out of it, and I'm imagining that is elaborated here, and then of course it was just important to know what was requested in terms of Hamas. Thanks.
Okay, Honorable
Ambassador.
Thank you, Sir Bassin. Honorable Robert, thanks again for the question. And for accepting my apology. Now, to start with the question that was put forward in terms of how government hopes to play an even role in this matter. I think I must indicate that it's a difficult question. One of the challenges in trying to manage this relationship has been to try and say, stemming from the ruling party's policies, that we support the total statehood of the Palestinians, that should be achieved as soon as possible, and that this is a long struggle that we are all familiar with. Now, the challenge has been, in that support, how do you manage relations with Israeli state, which has the power to facilitate the existence of the state without going all the way so as to cut all contacts and impose sanctions and boycotts against the state of Israel. Not that if there have been lack of requests, government has come under a lot of pressure from lobbies within South Africa to impose economic sanctions, cut all relations with the state of Israel, remove diplomatic representation. And government said, look, we don't think this would assist. Now, the problem that government faces is to maintain contact whilst not seemingly endorsing everything that the state of Israel does. I think this is really central to how the government is trying to manage this. If one can make an example, we have a very concerted and serious pressure from Israeli authorities to extend recognition of their military attaché. This time, non-resident could be resident military attaché in South Africa. Now, the trouble with this is the role of the Israeli military in terms of the raids and the erasing of homes in the West Bank and other areas. When they retaliate or try to counteract whatever rockets that have been fired to Israel from Gaza, we have had almost recently, in about 5 days, very huge response, which resulted into killing of people. One old man was in his sleep, and a raid was conducted, and these people were massacred because there have been some rockets that have been fired from presumably Hamas areas. So this has been the challenge. So what I'm saying, remember, is that we are trying to maintain relations with the state of Israel, saying that we would want Israel to move in a specific direction. But we are trying to limit an all-round cooperation as government with Israel in all fields as if relations were normal. So this is the difference that one tries to make. So government is trying to say, yes, we will grant access, we'll improve relations, but this is conditional on the progress in the peace process. I mean, you have heard recently of UJ, University of Johannesburg, and the Israeli University. They have come back, UJ, saying they want to cut relations with the Israeli University. They've written to us in terms of DECO, in terms of some advice, although they also want to make a mission. So, ideally, they have said themselves that they would, as they put, the council has said in the condition that they should have a balanced, they must have a contact with the Palestinian University if they are going to maintain relations with the Israeli University. So, I'm saying in a nutshell, the question of relations with Israel are maintained. That's why we said in my earlier presentation that the contact with our president and the president of Israel, we hope is going to take place along the margin of Davos, because that will give us a big opportunity for our president to be informed in terms of the real progress or the true intentions of Israel. So it's not a total ban, but it's an attempt not to give all-round recognition. Israel would want to have our ministers, all of them, provincial, national. They've asked, for instance, there was a seminar they're organizing, and they're inviting all of our defense personnel, senior officials, to go to Israel to a seminar, from chief of the Navy, Air Force, Army, intelligence, everybody. And we think, obviously, this is to compromise us, bring us into a very unhealthy relationship with Israeli state security instruments, which are used for repression. So these are the real issues that we're dealing with on this matter. And we're trying, I think, we'll always stay in touch, and we hope that the visit, as I said, our wish was that you meet these officials, and we're going to again pursue that strongly. Israeli officials, Israeli opposition, the Labour, Kadima, this lady, Honorable Mr. Tzipi Livini, there's even Barak, I was told that he's resigned from Likud. So it would be a good opportunity also to meet him. And this has happened in the last 2 days. Business of Ehud Barad, I think, from the Likud. So it would be important if the environment allows, and we make a very strong attempt to make it this happen, that you meet also Israeli political personalities. In terms of the essence of the request that was tabled to Minister Gwana Mashamal, really the four leaders were saying a gross violation of human rights is underway. They are being stripped of their citizenship, and that South Africa should really highlight their plight. Really, that's a direct request in terms of South Africa looking at our own history and everything. Can we then highlight the plight? These four are only serving as an example of what is really is the fate of many of the Palestinians who are resident in East Jerusalem. So it is important that South Africa does signal its concern through all the arms that exist in this country, that we are totally unhappy with this development. And it's also important that we throw our weight in a growing movement now to really support the Palestinian people and the Palestinian struggle in terms of their quest for a Palestinian state. So we thought to the committee that being a committee, a multi-party committee, this is an important visit important, even more important maybe than just one party going and visiting, because the multi-party committee can share the experience of South Africa in its entirety. So this really is a visit, but also an attempt to share in terms of how we've overcome some of the difficulties that South Africa faced. So again, I think Honorable Khalabe and Honorable Dudley, I think the essence of the invitation, really, what one seeks to achieve, is really to highlight this. I think part of the issue, I think, which talks normally to the real question of why should we be concerned, is to always promote the negotiation and an attempt to find a peaceful resolution of this problem. If South Africa doesn't become visible, doesn't show interest, you strengthen those elements who think that the only way is through some form of terrorist actions and violence to achieve their goals. So I think, honourable members, it's really another attempt to boost those forces who exist also in Israel itself, who think that there must be a critical mass of people who are ready for change, that are supported, who would then be influencing even the Israeli government to move in the right direction. I would stop here for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Ambassador. I have just noted this proposed program, that the proposal is indeed that we visit all sides of the divide, to put it like that. However, I assume, Ambassador, that we will also be led by the logistical, you know, the realities of the situation. However, I think in terms of that, what we will do is we will keep close tabs on that with the WIP as we go along, given the realities also within the embassy and so on, so that we see what is possible and what is not. But then we will communicate with you in due course, honorable members, with regard to the program. But I think the principle is established in this meeting that insofar as it is possible, we must visit both sides. I think that's the principle. Okay, thank you so much. Any further questions? None. Okay. No. Then, Ambassador, I must thank you at this stage for your input. Surely, it's a lot of issues that have emanated from your briefing. But I think I must stress the point that South Africa, given its own history, and this is also captured in our own constitution, honorable members, that South Africa must pledge solidarity with other oppressed peoples in the world. That is a principle of the work that we do in terms of pledging international solidarity. So I'm saying, in trying to elucidate further on some of the issues that the ambassador raised. But that we must do so, you know, or ensure at least that, to the extent that we can influence the situation, that we urge all parties to the table, because outside of that negotiation table, there is chaos and destruction and what some call genocide, you know. And I think that is our primary responsibility as members of parliament, to pledge solidarity with the oppressed peoples of this world. It's the very same approach that we take with regard to Western Sahara and the resolution of other problems in the world. Ours really is you know, coming from our own experience as a country, you know, and the values enshrined, and principles enshrined in our constitution. So let me stop there, the honourable members. The ambassador wants a last bite.
That's a small one, Chair. It's a point of information, really, to say. Honourable members, you might be aware that the fifth IPSA summit is supposed to be held in South Africa around about the second half of the year. Now, in the last IPSA summit, the Palestinian foreign minister was invited to address the foreign minister's forum. That's India, South Africa, and Brazil. And it can be expected that this would also happen. But within IPSA, there's also a parliamentary component, multi-party component. So I'm highlighting this because it might be important that building from this visit, we also begin to retrace the steps of the parliamentary forum of IPSA in terms of what has happened to this issue in the light of also a new, I mean not new, but other efforts being employed by the Brazilian government and the Indians also. So I think it would help to have another stronger coordination at that level. Chair.
Thank you so much, Ambassador. Honorable members, in the absence of anything else in relation to this, let me declare this meeting officially closed. The Honorable Mubu has finally come around.
No, Chair, it's not in connection with the topic that you're talking about, but I just wanted to raise two issues. I know it's closed, but we have other business that we're supposed to be. Just wanted clarification. The report on Addis Ababa visit, when does the sector need our input? I had a chance to look at it myself, and I need to give my input to you. But the other one is, when do we have the opportunity to sit as a committee to plan on our activities for the year? Can I get clarification on that?
All right. Okay. Do you want to?
No, I was going to suggest that for now, because our focus is making sure that we dispose of this business which is on our table before the State of the Nation address, and then immediately thereafter, which is early February, then we will resume our actual program and identify areas that we think are most critical for us this financially. That is my submission to the honourable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's one report. There's also a report where I went on a one-person delegation that I think we also need to just put on the table, the Western Sahara one. If we can also just include it as part of our next meeting as part of our agenda items.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you. We will deal, let us deal with those issues after the trip, okay? And yes, we, going towards the new financial year, we will have to sit down and chart our way for the new year. But I think also actively take stock in terms of what it is that we have achieved thus far. Remember, we've agreed on a program, both a program for the year, but also a strategic plan. So at some point we will have to evaluate ourselves as a committee and say really, you know, how far have we come in achieving those objectives set out. Okay, thank you so much, honorable members.